Okay.
Good morning, everybody. Parashat HaShavua is Parashat Vayigash. The whole story with Joseph is very, very interesting, and it's all connected, of course, to Chanukah, because nothing just happens. And one of the interesting things about Chanukah is, maybe you heard about it, and if we have another day of Chanukah, and the Gemara asks, Ma'i Chanukah? Which is a very strange question. What is Chanukah? Slicha, go to the kindergarten, ask the kids there, what's Chanukah? And everybody will answer, what's Chanukah? So what is Chanukah? Do you know what Chanukah is? Any ideas what Chanukah is? The Gemara asks, so it must be an important question. No. You see, like, you know, the dreams of Pharaoh, there were such simple dreams. Fat cows, thin cows, talking about food, you know, coming out of the river. And nobody sees it. Only Joseph sees it. And also then later on, you see the brothers, they standing in front of Joseph. Now, how does Joseph look? What do you think? Is he resemblance of somebody? An Egyptian, and his face?
He's clean shaven.
He's clean shaven? No, I think they had beard at that time.
Yeah,
Rashi says that they didn't recognize him because when he left, he was a young kid and he didn't have a beard yet. And now he had a beard. That's what Rashi says. But if we go back, we're also being told by one of the Midrashim that Joseph looked exactly as who?
Yaakov.
As Yaakov. So in other words, what do they see now in front of their eyes? Yaakov. But they don't see him. Which is very strange. So the whole story is very strange. By the way, this is the idea of Chanukah. What's the light of Chanukah? What is light and what is darkness? What is the difference between us and the Greeks? What is it? Is there a difference? Must be. We're fighting against them. The Greeks were sure that they are the light of the world. And sorry to tell you, till today, the Hellenistic culture is the Western culture of today. It's all built on the same thing. And what is the problem with this? It's what's it? Yafit leYefet vaYishkon bo alei Shem. Like, Yefet is beautiful and he's going to live where? He's going to dwell among in Shem. What is Shem? What is Yefet? Yefet is Greek and Shem is us. In other words, we have a problem with Yefet. Yefet is beautiful. Yefet is good. From the point of view outside, he looks like Shem. And there are those two brothers that cover their father. So they are great guys, both of them. So what is the difference between Yefet and Shem? When we talk about the Hellenistic culture or the Western culture, the man is in the center. Me, I am in the center, and everything is there to provide for me. Everything to give me, 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 me. So like I heard once a lecture says, we have beastly, milky, everything is me, me, me. Sheli, 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 everything sheli. And what is the idea? So what is the difference between us and them? We put God in the center. Now, what does it mean put God in the center? What does it mean? What is God? The real truth is God is us. The klal is God. Because everything, each one of us got a part of God inside him. And the idea is that we are all connected. We are one part. Like they say, Adam HaRishon, he was the big soul that from him, all the other souls of the world came out. And if we're talking Kabbalah, and Kabbalah also, we have to understand with all the names of God, they are not what we think is God. There are levels. Elohim, Hashem, Yudkei, whatever. God is something that you cannot explain. You cannot even touch it. You cannot get even near it. So when we talk about Elohim, when we talk about Shekhinah, it's something that we are building. In other words, what was the problem, and today is also the same problem, is that when we put me in the center, and everything is for me, it's like, I think Kennedy said it, it's not what the country does for you, it's what you are going to do for the country. And that's exactly the idea. It's as I said, it's there are a lot of things that are similar to us, but is there anything inside, or it's not just something outside? What said Avraham? Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh v'arguni al dvar ishti. Says, you've got everything. But there is something you haven't got. Yirat Elokim. You haven't got Yirat Shamay. And if you haven't got Yirat Shamay, you've got nothing. What does it mean? It says you have culture, you have manners, you have everything. And we all remember it. Just this week, so one of our congregation, Reb Naftali Grinfeld, she will be to Yirat Shamay. He was one of the last one of those, or the survivors of the Holocaust. And he is the light of Hanukkah. He is the fight of light against darkness. A guy that did whatever he could, it doesn't matter what. And you look at it and you think to yourself, what is the difference? The difference is very, very, very simple. There is this story, and I don't, maybe you heard about it. There was, after the war, there was what you call Machane Akurim. I don't know how you say it in English.
Displaced persons?
Yes, but after the war, they gathered everything before they knew what to do with them. Yes, and then they, in one of those camps, there was this rabbi, I don't remember the name, sorry. I've got problem with names. And, sorry?
The use of displaced person camps still exists today in many places.
What?
The concept. The right.
The concept, okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can you slow down your speech a little bit?
Okay. How slow you want it? So, in this, no. Okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So, that. Okay. In this camp, this rabbi was organizing Tfilat Erev Shabbat, Erev Shabbos, and there was one guy that was sitting on the side that didn't want to be a part of it. And they asked him, why don't you come and be a part of it? He says, I don't know anything about your religion. He says, what do you mean? You are also Jewish. So the rabbi approached him and said, what is your problem? Tell me, I want to know. Why don't you want to be a part of us? We're all survivors and we're here and we want to do Kabbalat Shabbat. Why don't you be a part of it? He says, after what I saw in the camp, in the concentration camp, I don't want to be a part of you. He says, what did you see? He says, there was this guy that had a Tehillim book, a small Tehillim book, a little torn, and everybody wanted to use the Tehillim book to say Tehillim. But he used it and he took the portion from them, the food from their mouth, if they wanted to use the Tehillim book. And when I saw this, I said, is this religion? Is this being Jewish? Is take advantage in a place like this that people just want to read the Tehillim that you've got instead of giving it to them free and enjoy it? You take the food that they have to eat, and you know, they didn't get a lot of food there. It was a matter of surviving. So the rabbi told him something. Say, I want to ask you something. Why don't you look on those 100 people, Jewish people, that were willing to give up their food in order to read the healing? And when he heard this, he understood how wrong he is in his words. Like 2 minutes ago, we were talking about what's the name? Bezalem and all those beautiful friends of us. Yeah. Those are this guy with the Tehillim book that sells it. But Baruch Hashem, a lot of us, and most of us, are Baruch Hashem in the right way. And we must always look at the half that is full and not at the half that is empty. Baruch Hashem, it's not half. But that is exactly the idea of Chanukah, to understand that the light is there and we have to take it and lit the light so everybody, that's why we put it in front of the street, because the street is the darkness, the street is the culture, the Western culture that we, the Jewish home, want to lighten. And this is what we do. Unfortunately, we don't always see it in the right proportion, as the brothers of Joseph didn't see Joseph in front of their eyes. Why? It says, Ivelet Adam tesalef darko ve'al Hashem is af libo. Ivelet Adam, if you have an idea and you think your idea is right, you will go with it through the hallway. And it doesn't matter what you see in front of your eyes, you just won't see it because you think you're right. And this is exactly with the brothers of Joseph. Because all the signs, look what's happening in the last parsha and what's going to happen in other parsha of this week. They come to Egypt and they, standing in front of this guy, they bow to him, and this guy is the second to Pharaoh, and he's dealing with them because they want to buy food. Then he blames them to be spies. I want to ask you, if somebody here is going to go through the border and they will catch him, would they bring him to Sarah Bitachon? What, the prime minister? You have people that deal with it. And they don't think, well, he can't. They standing in front of the Mishneh LeMelech Mitzray, the guy, he's got all the power of Egypt in his hands. And he has he needs to deal with those 10 people. Then we hear that he uses the name of God. Then he sends them back and puts the money in their packages. And what's happening is one is finds the money and the others don't even check. They only find the money later on. So Rashi says that the money of Levi was right when you opened the rucksack, when you opened this package, it wasn't right on top of it. But all the others had it inside. Okay. But then they come again. And the same story happens. Again, they don't check anything. And what happens now? They find the gavia of Joseph in Binyamin's bag. Wow. Do they check if they have the money back, all of them? Why didn't they check before they got out of Egypt? They know that they had a problem last time. Then, they're also invited to eat dinner where? Or lunch where? In the palace, the house of the Mishneh LeMelech Mitzray. What's going on here? What? Why don't you try to understand what's going on here? And it's going on and on. They say something, he says something else. And really, if you think...
And he sat them by their agents.
So, okay, it's got an excuse. You know, everything has got an excuse. It's got this special... how do you say it? Gavia? It's got this special thing that he...
Crystal goblet.
He tells him what's happening. Okay. You find excuses for everything. It says, "Ivelet Adam tesalef darko ve'al asher yisaf libo." When you think you have to understand. In our parsha, when they find out that this Ani Yosef Aod Avi Chai, they lose it. Suddenly they realize that all their life they were living in mistake. And they are tzaddikim, and they were sure that what they did was the right thing to do. And the problem was very simple. There was no connection, not real communication between them. Vayiru oto merachok, they saw him from far. They never tried to understand who really Joseph is. But they see the dreams coming true. Because they're all the brothers. In the first dream is the 10 brothers, they bow to Joseph. And what do they do now? Bow to this guy. No, they don't. And he looks like their father. Okay, he's dressed with Egyptian clothes. So what? You see all those strange things happening and you don't see what's going on. But that's exactly the idea. We have to understand. The same thing is with the question of the Gemara, Mai Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? What is really Hanukkah? What do you think? What is Hanukkah? You know, we are one day before the end of Hanukkah. You don't know what Hanukkah is, we have a problem.
Holiday of lights.
Holiday of lights. Why? Because of the miracle of the light.
Yeah.
Yes. Any other ideas?
Also the war.
Hanukkah HaMizbeach.
Rededication.
Okay. What the siddur here? Let's see what it's all about. Let's understand what it's all about. It's written, Al HaNisim, we say. Okay. Al HaNisim, Ve'al HaPurkan, Ve'al HaGvurot, Ve'al HaTshuot. Okay. Bimei Matityahu Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Do I have to translate it or everybody understand? Okay. If not, tell me. In the days of Matityahu, the high priest, Chashmona Yubanav, Chamda Malchut Yavan in the Greek kingdom, they wanted to, what to do? La'ashkicham Toratecha. Not to destroy us physically, but spiritually. If you would have go to their side, which unfortunately a lot of the people did, you were a part of the Greek nation, and you had all the good things of life. But the Jews didn't accept it. They didn't want to be like the Greeks. Unfortunately, a part of the Jewish nation did it, yeah, as the same way happens today. That's, by the way, why we say, "Bayamim ha'hem bazman hazeh." What's bazman hazeh? It happens then. Many years ago. But it's happening today also. You can look in the, I don't know how much it's in the, now it's the in state, the Itbolelut, in the States, but I think it's more than 60%. This is mit yavnim. This is exactly the idea.
Orthodox is over 80%.
Shalom Eda. And it's very sad, but that's exactly the picture here. So, this is the big miracle. להעבירה מחוקר את צעוניך, ואתה ברחמך הרבים, עמדת להם בצרתם, God was there and he helped us, רבת את ריבם, דדת את גם נתם, נקמת את מיותם, מסרת גיבורים בעד חלשים, רבית מיד מעטים ותמאים בעד... What we have here is a description of a war. The few against a lot. The purity against impurity. The men. So, very nice. זדים, חולה, ולכה עשית השם גדול, למחה עשית תשואה, something is missing. What is missing?
The whole Shem story doesn't exist. Now only Shem.
Let's see. ואחר כן, and after the whole thing, באו בניך ונדביר ביתך, ופינו את היכלך. They came, there was a problem with all the tumah there, and they cleaned the place. והדליקו נרות בחצרות קודשך. And they, what did they do?
They lit lights.
Any miracle here?
Doesn't mention it.
What did we say 2 minutes ago? Hanukkah is about the miracle of the light, of the candle. Where is it written here?
That's not the miracle. The miracle is the 8 days that the oil lasted for.
Why is it not written here?
No.
נרות בחצרות קודשך וקבעו שמונת ימי חנוכה אלה. Where is written there was a miracle? In the lighting of the candles. Because we all are concentrated and we don't even see when we read it that the miracle itself is not written. What is written is that they had light, they lit the lights for 8 days. That's what's written. Not that there was a pach shemen, a small can of oil, and it was only enough for one day, and then a miracle happened and it was going on for 8 days. It's not written here.
You say the first word, I'm only seeing.
So I'm asking, what is the Nes? That's exactly the question. The Gemara asks it, not me. It says, Mai Chanukah. And Ribbono Shel Olam, it's so, the answer is very simple. You know, the Gemara is not asking, Mai Pesach, Mai Purim, only Mai Chanukah. So what is so, what's not understandable in the miracle of Chanukah?
But Chanukah is not mentioned in the Torah.
Like also Purim. And they don't ask my Purim. They ask my Chanukah. It's interesting. And the answer is very simple. Unfortunately, you know, if you're talking about the miracle of the candle, it's not a big miracle. If you know that in the first temple, there was this Ner Ma'aravi, and was he going on?
All the time.
All the time. So what's the big deal in a miracle of a candle lighting for 8 days? Not a big thing for the Beit HaMikdash. So why did Chazal tell us to light the candles? Because of the miracle of the candle. Why? And that's the question of the Gemara. Mai Chanukah? We know that the important stuff is what? Winning back our, our independence and keeping our tradition and being good Jewish people. That's the big thing. Because you have to understand, the brick, as we said, are so similar to us. That's why Yefet, Shochen Bo Alei Shem, that's why Yefet is in the tense of Shem. Because Yefet does the same thing that we do. They have also manners. You know, if somebody collapses in the street, an ambulance comes and takes him. Not only in Israel, all over the world. So, a lot of charity things all over the world. Not only the Jews do charity. And, you know, you can very easily be tempted to be a part of this big culture that is also merciful, kind, and good laws. But the Torah is telling you that that's not the real picture. Because that's exactly what the fight was against the Greeks. The Greeks brought all the modern culture to this world. Sport, the Greeks. You can name it. By the way, also philosophers. Who are the greatest philosopher of all time? Greeks. So it's not, that's the problem. It's not only physical, it's also spiritual. The Rambam sometimes quotes their philosophers. And that's exactly the problem. Because they are so similar to us, we can be very easily tempted to go to this side. The only difference is Ra'em Yirat Elokim b'makom azeh v'araguni al dvar ishti. It's all good and nice when it doesn't interfere in my own ego. The minute there is something against my will, what I want to do for me, then let's see, where is all the mercy? Where is all the kindness? And where are all the laws? And you will find out, unfortunately, as we unfortunately already found out and finding out every day. When we look at Am Israel, the state of Israel, the only state in this region that wants peace and wants real peace. And around us, people are being murdered, tortured by their own people. But we are the terrible people. We are the kofshim. We are the villains. Is this logical? But that's exactly the problem. When you show the truth, not everybody wants to accept it. That's why the brothers of Joseph don't see anything. Because they don't want to see. Because if they see the truth in front of their eyes, they have to change and they have to understand that all their life they lived by mistake. So I'm not comparing Chas v'Shalom, the brothers of Joseph, the holy tribes, to the Goyim or to the Greek culture. But you have to understand that the whole idea is for us to learn what it is all about. And when Joseph in our parsha reveals himself to his brother, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai, and 2 minutes ago they told him that their father is alive. So why is he asking again, is my father still alive?
It's a question mark. How is it possible that he can still be alive?
Why?
The way you've been handling him.
He says, when you sold me, didn't you think, they said, those two words are the biggest rebuke that you have in the Bible. Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai. I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? Because what did they tell him before? You know what you asked us to do, and when you took that, and now our father is going to grieve, and our father can die. Maybe he can get a heart attack because now we're taking another son from him. And what's going to happen with our father? So he's asking them, Ani Yosef, I am Joseph. Do you remember what happened with me? You wanted to kill me, and then you sold me. Why didn't you think about our father then? When they hear this, they realize that all the dreams of Joseph are true. And Joseph is not what they thought he is. And they now realize also what big mistake they did. And they made their father grieve for so many years. Now, what would you feel if you suddenly realize that all your life, Yom Kippur after Yom Kippur, you're saying Al Chet, and you think you are an unbelievable tzaddik. And suddenly you find out that not only you're not a tzaddik, you are Rasha. Because Gadol HaMachti'o Yoter Me'orgo. If they would have killed him, it was even better than selling to the Egyptian. To the Ishmaelite, they sold him to the Egyptian. Why? Because when they sold him, and this is why Yaakov doesn't believe that he is alive. What? The brother comes and says, Yosef Chai. So why doesn't he believe? He knows he is alive. Physically, he is alive. Because that's why he's mourning on him for so many years. Because there is a gzerah. If somebody dies, if he really died, you hear somebody died. If you really died, after a while, a year, you forget about him. Not forget about him in the meaning that you don't remember that he existed. But the mourning is it's getting down. But if he is still alive, you're still mourning all the time. You cannot calm down because he's still alive. And this was what's happening with their father for so many years.
But they told him he was dead.
Sorry?
The brothers came back and told the father.
They didn't tell him that he's dead. They didn't tell him to that. They brought to him the coat with blood. So of course, the obvious thing to think, they didn't tell him, they never ever told him that he is dead. But the problem is that they showed him all the evidence that he is dead.
The Torah makes it clear that we're to understand that the father accepted that the son was dead.
You're 100% right, but what is he saying? Tarof, toraf, Yosef. Tarof, toraf. What's tarof, toraf, Yosef?
Wild.
A wild animal?
Wild fish attacked.
So why do you have to say it twice? Taraf, taraf. Sure. Say taraf, taraf. Otherwise animals attacked him and killed him. Why do you need to say taraf, taraf?
Surely, we had the word surely.
You can write whatever you want, but the Torah is not using words just for the sake of the nice speech.
And,
sorry? No, he says, Yaakov says, Taraf Toraf Yosef. The question is, why is he saying Taraf Toraf and not Taraf or Taraf? Why is he saying the same word twice?
Well, Rashi gives one answer.
Yes.
Potiphar's wife.
What does it mean?
What does that mean?
That he's dead or not?
Spirit, one physical, one spiritual.
Exactly. Taraf Toraf is more than physical and spiritual. It's Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Because if Joseph is now eating by a beast, he says he's not eating by a beast physically. The beast is the wife of Potiphar, like the Rashi says in the spot. And now he is afraid that what's going to happen to all his education. Now, why did Yaakov take Joseph aside and give him special education? And like the brother thought he's favoring him more than there. He loves them more than them. The real truth was that Yaakov knew. Ele toldot Yaakov, Yosef. That's what's written. What's toldot? The story of Yaakov is the same story as Joseph. So he knew it. So what is he doing? He takes him apart. They think he loves him more. He loves him in a matter of he knows that if he's not going to give him the right tools, he's not going to survive because he's going to go through life the same way as he. And he was the guy who was living with Laban. And we say, Lavan garti v'taryag mitzvot shamarti. And he could go against all the impurity. The same way as the light of Hanukkah is lighting the darkness, Yaakov did it. And he gave the tools, or he thought he is giving the tools to Joseph, but now he thought, maybe I didn't finish my education. The age of 70, he is somewhere. And he feels, as we see, that all the brothers and sisters, they come, they want to comfort him, and he doesn't take it. And even now, when they come, in our parasha, the next parasha, when they come and tell him, Vayafag libo, he's almost getting a heart attack when he heard that, where is Joseph? In Egypt. Vahu Moshel, and he's the governor. He is in charge of what? Of the greatest tomb of all, Egypt. So what does it mean? Is he a tzaddik or a rasha? Life in our eyes is not moving, eating, and sleeping. It's living spiritual life, and also not spiritual life like the Greeks. And that's the problem that we have with the Greek culture, because it's very similar to us. They also like the beauty of spirituality and also the beauty of materialistic life. But they put in the center the ego, and not the right ego. By the way, in the Kabbalah, they say, yes, what you have, the ani ha'amiti ve'ani ha'mezuyav. It's the real me and the fake me. What is the fake me? The fake me is Yetzer Hara. And the real me is the neshama. That's the real me. The neshama is inside me. It's a chelek elok ha'imar. The body is only a cover. It's only a levush. It's a suit that you wear. The neshama wears the suit in order to make do the mitzvahs. So in other words, when Yaakov says Taraf Toraf, he's talking about Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. The spiritual way of telling us that he knows deep inside that physically he's alive. But that's not life. Because real life is a life of Torah. A life of spirituality that goes in the way of the Torah. And that's why when they come and tell him that he is alive and he rules Egypt, the first thing he thinks, Oy vavoy, I lost the battle. That's why he thinks he has to go to hell. Because he was not only not successful in the education, he failed. Because he didn't give the right tools to Joseph, knowing that he's going to go through what he's going through. And that's why then, you see, it's very interesting how we see that there is a use. There's Yaakov and Israel. And Yaakov is the only one that we use both names. And you see sometimes an unbelievable change in one pasuk he can be called Yaakov and then Israel. And this is also, by the way, happening in Parashat Vayigash. No, in Vayigash in a minute. Kids, Vayigash. So they come to him, ויגידו לו לאמור, עוד יוסף חי, וכי הוא מושל בכל ארץ מצרים, ויפג ליבו כי לא האמין להם. They tell him he rules over all Egypt, and he suddenly he almost getting a heart attack, and he doesn't believe them. What does he believe? That he is alive? He doesn't believe them שהוא מושל במצרים, because they try to tell him that not Mitzrayim is on top of him, he is on top of Mitzrayim. In other words, not the Tuma is controlling, he is in control, but he doesn't believe, because it's impossible. If he is on top of them, the Egyptian, which is the greatest Tuma of the ancient world, it's impossible that he is pure. But then they explain to him, וידברו אליו את כל דברי יוסף. And they convince him, telling him, you know, we're sitting there. He wasn't eating what we are eating, what the Egyptians are eating. He was eating different food, kosher food. He also, the name of God is in, always mentioned with him. And the way he behaves, Baruch Hashem, doesn't believe them. When does he believe them? Vayar et ha'agalot asher shalach Yosef. When he sees the wagons. Now, agalot, the agalot, the wagons that they were the sent wagons to him. And by the way, exactly, and the wagons were not, exactly, it wasn't Yosef sending the wagons, but Pharaoh. So what did he see? So there are a lot of beautiful explanations. One of them is Egla Arufa. What is the idea of Egla Arufa? When you find somebody dead between two cities, you measure what city is closer, and you take the Egla and you slaughter him in the middle or near the town. And what is the idea behind it? The nearest town is the one that is blamed about this guy being killed. Now, what does it have to do with Yaakov believing that Joseph is still alive? So you can say in a simple way, this was exactly the sugiyah that they were learning when he left. So he's reminding him, you see, I remember even what we were talking about. But it's more clever. I think the Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Shten Zatzal brings it. He says, what the idea is here, very simple. He says, 1 minute, what is it really trying to tell me? Egla Arufa, you take measurement, who is closer, and this town is going to be blamed. He says, let me look in my life. He says, 22 years, I didn't do Kibud Av, yes. He honored his mother, yes, because his mother sent him away. But his father told him, go and bring a wife and come back. So for 22 years, he's not there. In other words, he's not doing Kibud Av. And how many years Joseph is not here? 22.
Didn't his wife say that? And didn't his mother say that she would bring him back also?
Yeah, and she brought him back. That's, she sent his midwife, and she died on the way back. And this is when he went back. In other words, he did kibbutz. He did exactly what his mother did. Seth told him to do, but Yitzchak didn't tell him, go and stay. He says, go, take a wife, and he was married. Why didn't he come? And so the kibbutz was the problem. Now he checked. Let's see, how many years is Joseph not here? 22 years. How many years didn't I do kibbutz? 22 years. Put it together, that's what Joseph is telling me. That's it. The sentence was that I am not going to see Joseph for 22 years because I didn't do Kibud Av for 22 years. So it's not enough that he remembers what they were learning, he's also telling him through what they're learning what is really happening, what is the story, because there is a lot of other questions. Why Joseph doesn't tell his father that he is alive? The Or HaKadosh says, okay, when he was a slave, you can say he didn't have any way to tell his father. But now, he's in control of Egypt. And they had 7 good years. So he could send messengers. Not even go by himself, but he could send messengers. The same way as his brother came to Egypt. It was from him much easier to send a few wagons and tell his father, Abba, I am alive. Come.
One of the explanations is that he didn't want to embarrass his brothers.
Mutav yatil adam et atzmo lekivshan ha'esh ve'al yevayesh pnei chavaro barabim. And that we learn from Tamar. But it's a different issue, but we haven't got time to talk about this. Why is it Tamar the symbol of mesirut nefesh about not shaming somebody while Joseph is doing it for many, many, many years? But that's a different issue. But the idea, that's the idea. Yes.
I was telling very interesting. He said that the brothers made a shvuah, an oath not to tell their father. They had a minyan, so Joseph had to be part of that.
No,
say God. Say the Shekhinah was a part of it. The Shekhinah was a part of it. What you say is right, but the Shekhinah was a part of it.
He couldn't tell because he's part of that.
The reason he didn't talk is because he didn't want to shame. Can you realize what's going to happen? By the way, he didn't see his father. Only twice he saw his father.
He could have done both. He didn't have to tell him why he was in Egypt. He said, I got lost and they picked me up. So this wife took me, grabbed me, and I ended up in Egypt.
What is better, to tell a lie or to try to avoid telling the truth?
It's better. He could have said what we call a white lie. He couldn't have said. He just left.
The point is, you're talking about Yaakov. He's not a stupid guy. Yaakov will start investigating. One minute, I want to understand. You are in Egypt for so many years. How did you get there? You want to see your brother. What happened at the way?
I lost him.
Sorry. Yes,
I think there's even a midrash that says that even when Yaakov moved back,
yes,
Joseph never spent
that's
time
with that's what I said. Life. I said it not.
Oh,
he only saw him twice.
Right, never spent time
when
with
him. Before he died.
One on one, never.
Yes, never stayed one on one with Yaakov.
I know you don't have time, it's beautiful.
No, it's okay.
But I heard from a grandfather's point of view that the biggest proof that Joseph remained at Tzadik was when he met his children. Yaakov spent his remaining years learning Torah with his grandchildren. They came with a Jewish mother. He married Dasana, whatever. But his life was of a tzaddik. He never lost it.
His life was dedicated
to Torah.
To not only to Torah, to bring everybody together.
Yes.
That's Joseph HaTzaddik. Et Echai Anochi Mevakesh. That's what he's saying. This guy, his brother, hated him. They wanted to kill him. They sold him. And what is he doing in revenge? Nothing. I only want the good for you. Because this is Yosef HaTzadik. By the way, this is one of the reasons that Yosef HaTzadik is not the king and Yehuda is the king. Because you cannot relate yourself to Joseph. He's such a tzadik that you cannot relate to him. To Yehuda you can relate. You know, he does mistakes, but he fixes them. But this guy, he doesn't know any mistake. Even with Potiphar, he's not doing a mistake. And then, the brother that hated him and sold him, instead of paying them and torture them or I don't know what to do to them, he is providing them. He's taking them to Egypt and he gives them all the best of the land. This is Yosef HaTzadik, but that's a big lesson for us. Because the main thing that Yosef HaTzadik is telling us, Et Echai Anochi Mevakesh. Unfortunately, a few of our brothers are mityavnim. That's our problem. They are at the other culture. But we don't have to give up. We have to try again and again, like Joseph tried. He never gave up on his brother. And we shouldn't give up. Now,
that one piece. That piece is, I don't understand. It doesn't explain why Joseph couldn't bring his father when he became a bishop. Why did he wait 7 years? Why did he wait for the famine and all these things to happen to bring his father? Why couldn't Joseph bring his father?
That's what I'm saying now. That's what we're saying. Because he didn't want to contact his father and tell him that he is alive because there was 22 years that he was not supposed to see Joseph. That's what he said right before.
That was 22 years already.
No. 22, no.
When
now it's a 22 years.
What's the 7? That makes 22?
Now when he comes, when Yaakov is getting down to Egypt, it's after 22 years, he didn't see Joseph.
He was 17 when he was carried away.
Yes.
When you were
now had now 22 years, and that's the age of his birth today.
22 years in prison, so it was already 22 years, no?
No.
How long is he in prison?
The 22 years are from 17 to now. from the moment he left his father,
yeah,
when going to jail, going to slavery,
how
going
long
to
is he jail? How long is he jail?
2 years.
Huh?
2 years, I think.
Oh. Yeah. Much longer. Two extra years.
Two extra years. Yes.
17 till 30. Yeah. He was 17 when he was kidnapped. He was 30.
Yes,
I don't know how many years he was in, but I don't know how long he was at Potiphar's house.
Okay. I don't want to start calculating because I want to get to the end of the story, but the calculation is there. You can look in normally Rashi, by the way, if you want to see calculation, Rashi always brings all the calculation. The idea is 22 years.
Right.
Against 22 years. But there is something else also in the Agalot. The Agalot, the wagons, are not only Eglah Arufa. One of the beautiful explanations I like to see is the Agalot are talking about what the tribes gave as donate to the Chanukat HaBayit. They brought 6 wagons and 12 oxes. We talked about it in the past. And showing what? Showing the unity. The two tribes, they brought from one side 2 oxes. You can call it also in marriage, 2 oxes, a man, oxen, and a man and a wife, together carrying the wagon. So he told him, I bring the wagons because I made peace with the brothers. And we are now all together the same way as the Nesi'im brought the donation of each one of the tribes combined with the other, with another tribe, and together they brought the wagon, because otherwise they were not stingy. Why do you bring only 6 wagons and 12 oxen? Bring 12 wagons. What's the problem? But the point is to show that they are united. And this is exactly another lesson from the wagons, because he was not sending wagons, he was sending kirkarot, but we're not going to go into this, because there are a lot of things that are written in and we don't see them. And that is exactly the idea of Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the idea of the things that we don't see, we don't want to see. It's like this villager, guy that lives in a village far away, came the first time to a cinema. And darkness, and he sees the film. He says, wow, beautiful. But he doesn't see so good. Doesn't understand why people sit in the dark. So the next day he comes with a big torch. And when the minute that it's dark and the film starts, he's turning on the torch and screening on the screen. And what happens?
Can't see anything.
And everybody's shouting, turn off the light! That is us. We're living in a film. Sitting in the darkness of Greek, seeing the film, all the beautiful shops and all the beautiful figures, and everything is so nice and so tempting. And suddenly, Hanukkah light comes and lights us the light and tells us, you know, this is a lie. This is not the real world. This is virtual world. This is not the right thing. The right thing is the light of the Torah. But what do we say? Turn off the light! Oh, we enjoy the darkness. We enjoy the movie. It's a nice movie. It's nice. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. And it can be even more beautiful if we go in the way of the Torah. And that's the idea of the light of the Torah. This is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not the miracle of the lights. The miracle of the light is a symbol of the real miracle, which is that the purity won the war against impurity. Torim neged meim. Meatim neged rabim. Because one light can send away a lot of darkness. And this is our job. To take this light of Hanukkah and try and light all the others, not only us, but it has to start from us.
Yes, sir.
Shkoyim.